Hey, this is Ryan Gustafson from the Dead Tongues, and you're listening to Juicebox Music Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Juicebox Music Podcast, special interview pod edition. This is Hunter and Nick here. We've got a great interview today with Ryan Gustafson, also known as the Dead Tongues. Nick caught up with him recently on the phone, right, Nick?
Yeah, about a couple weeks ago.
And tell us a little bit about Ryan and his musical evolution and this new record that he has got coming out this week. Actually, today, if you're listening to this, when this podcast is uploaded, it's called Unsung Passage.
Yeah, his record releases today, Friday, May 18th. Ryan is a singer-songwriter from North Carolina. He's been in a variety of bands. We talk about it a little bit in the interview, but, you know, some people might know him from a band called Box Bomb. Box Bomb was in the, I'd say, the early 2000s, kind of definitely more on the rock alternative side of things. And then he kind of moved on to that, to other Raleigh, North Carolina triangle-based bands. I think he was in a band called Max Indian, and then the Light Pines, and you know, he then played on a bunch of bands that were fairly famous there. I think he played a little bit for a band called The Love Language. I don't know if he actually toured with them, but I know for a while he was working with them. And then most recently, he's been the lead guitar for His Golden Messenger, which kind of broke through a couple years ago.
And both The Love Language and His Golden Messenger are on the beloved Merge Records label based out of Durham.
Yep. And so he's been working with His Golden Messenger for the last year, but also always doing his own kind of project. I'd seen Ryan live many times now, and I've never seen him as part as the Dead Tongues as the project. And so we caught up on the phone a couple weeks ago in anticipation of this album. And I think I would encourage everybody to go listen to it. I adore this album. I think it's, you know, this is his third release, I believe, as the Dead Tongues. But this is by far, I think, the most mature and polished. And I find it a little very vulnerable as well. So
yeah, it's a really, really beautiful record.
I agree. And he was recently, his single was premiered on Stereogum. So there's a little bit of press around it, but I would really encourage to not only listen to it, but go check him out live. He's really good live. And he has announced a short tour in Europe in support of this other singer-songwriter called Ben Howard. He'll be playing some European dates in support of that. And then I'm sure there will be more coming in the U.S. I know they've already announced a show in Oregon at Pickathon. He'll be playing Pickathon as the Dead Tongues. I just wanted also to say that the record is released on a new label called Psychic Hotline, and it is their first release. So really exciting.
Release numero uno.
Yeah, so really exciting, you know, for him and for this new label, right. Psychic Hotline.
Psychic Hotline, one for one so far, their track record.
Exactly. It was a really great time catching up with Ryan, and I hope you enjoy it. Well, hey, Ryan, thanks for doing this. Where are you right now?
I'm in Asheville, so I'm at home currently.
Nice. Yeah. How long have you lived in Asheville?
I've been here about 4 years, but I've been in North Carolina for over 15 years, so it's been a while out in this area.
Yeah. How do you like Asheville? I've been there a few times, but I hear a lot of good things about it.
Oh man, I love it. It's it always feels like home coming back. You know, it's beautiful, lots of good people, tight knit art scene that's really active. So it's a good spot.
Nice. Yeah. Do you feel like it's spurred creativity since you've been there?
Definitely. I've found the landscape, you know, being pretty inspiring for writing and things like that. You know, it's a good place to walk around and think of some stuff. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I know the food's delicious too. Every time I go, I love the food.
Yeah, that's definitely a big reason lots of people come here. But
it's surprisingly too, like, I feel like it's starting to be a really big touring spot. Like, a lot of big bands are coming through Asheville and kind of skipping some other more traditional towns, I would say.
Yeah, you know, it, you know, actually, like, when I, before I was living in Asheville, I was living in Durham, North Carolina, and that area would get most of the big touring shows, but I feel like now it's pretty even where, you know, people stop here a lot, and it's, you know, which makes sense. Like, you know, I think when bands show up here, they don't, you know, they don't know what to expect, and then a lot of times it's one of their, you know, favorite shows of the South, so
yeah.
It's, you know, people come back.
Yeah, it's definitely a great place to see a show. I've seen a couple of shows there, and I really recommend it because it's so walkable, and after the show, you just go anywhere you want.
Yeah, man.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, I agree. I know you've played in a lot of bands, and, like, you've kind of been playing music for a while. Could you give us a little bit of background to, like, how you got started and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird because, you know, it's been a long time, you know, pushing the rock up the hill, which doesn't really stop. But in some ways, you know, it feels like it's just starting, which is weird because I've been doing it for so long. But, you know, I guess, it just started the way, you know, it does with many people where, you know, I just started making noise around a very young age. And then, you know, at that point, you know, I was going to church, and that was a part of my life when I was a little kid. So I started playing in church, which was a good thing for me. You know, it's like I didn't have anything else to do where I was living, and it was really the only way I could play music, and that was great. And then, you know, got out of that, and just, you know, was in the tried to get as far into the music scene as I could. You know, like, I had a lot to learn, and didn't know, you know, my knowledge of music wasn't very big, you know, like it was had a pretty small scope. And so it's like through widening that, you know, I got in touch with more and more people, and eventually just kind of split time between playing in other people's bands and writing my own music, and just been doing that as much as I can. And you know, eventually it just got to the point where I was doing it so much I couldn't do anything else. So but yeah, and most recently, you know, I was, like, the last few years, kind of the way my life has looked is, you know, I'll go on tour with some different bands, you know, like, mostly His Golden Messenger. I was on tour playing lead guitar for them for the bulk of the last two and a half years. And so it's like as soon as I would get off tour with them, I would just go on tour and do my own thing. So it was pretty much like a touring lifestyle.
Wow.
For the last like 3 years. You know, which has, that has recently changed. Like, now I've just transitioned into only doing my stuff full time, which, you know, feels real good, but you know.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. So do you mean that, for the foreseeable future, it's just the Dead Tongues?
Yeah. 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 Which, you know, is what I've been working towards for a while. So I'm going to try it out and see how it goes, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I saw, you know, you were talking about His Golden Messenger. I saw you guys play on Seth Meyers. How was
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was really fun. You know, I think, yeah. And that was a good crew to do it with. You know, like, it's all a bunch of people that have been doing it a long time that can not take things too seriously, you know, where I think we all just had a blast. And, you know, the Broad City ladies were on that day, and that was like, you know, fun time.
They're awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, Michael Shannon was another guest. Yeah, it was fun. It actually was a lot like I had imagined it would be, like, you know, where it's kind of just the things that I thought would be there were, you know, where it's like you're just, you know, everything's run by like unions in TV. So it's like you can't like touch any of your own gear, or, like, move any shit. It's like,
really?
If you want to, like, yeah, if you, like, want to move your mic stand, you got to be like, hey, like, either can you move this, or, like, can I move it? Or, you know, it's just, they take it really seriously.
Oh,
and I actually just got a bill in the mail for $14, which I have to pay the union of NBC for my one day of union fees.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, since, you know, yeah, there's lots of things like that. But it's, But it's a fun process, you know. It's you know, as long as you cannot take it too seriously, it's a good time.
Do people that are like recurring all the time, do they get like a bill every day? I don't know how
that works. I have no idea.
Pay to play, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's like a quarterly fee or something, and some, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
As long as that's the only one, I don't care.
What so when you were, you know, when you were growing up, like what music were you into? I think like everybody kind of has this band or this musician you're like, that you're like, wow, that was my guy or my girl, or that was my band when I was growing up.
Yeah.
What was yours?
You know, I mean, there's, you know, it changes. There's been lots of kind of milestones along the way, you know, and it definitely like when I was younger, like preteen going into my teens, you know, I liked, you know, rock and roll music, you know, like just alt rock, more or less. And, you know, I remember Radiohead being a really big one, you know, when I was younger. And, but actually one thing I got that, you know, was special, but you know, like the way that I discovered Bob Dylan was really, I don't know, like natural, you know, like he wasn't shown to me, by my parents or anybody else. It was just, I was driving one day and, I had just gotten my license. So I was like 16 or whatever. And, Like a Rolling Stone came on the radio and I was just like, oh man, what the fuck is this? Like, this is, amazing. And then, you know, waited till they said who it was. And I was like, oh, that's Bob Dylan that I've always heard about, you know? So I kind of dove into him in a pretty big way that was just, yeah, natural and kind of my own discovery, which was fun, you know, and that one obviously stuck, you know. And then, you know, there were times, you know, I got really into, you know, things that are quite different than what I'm doing now, you know, where I was, you know, really into like a minimal Italian or French, like electronic music, you know, things like that, that, definitely played a role in, you know, my discovery of various, you know, sonic art, but it, you know, maybe didn't play into my, what I'm doing right now as much, you know?
So let's talk about what you're doing right now. So when did you start the Dead Tongues? Maybe, you know, for those maybe audience listeners not familiar with your project, like, could you tell us a little bit more about that particular project?
Yeah, you know, I've been doing it, I think, since maybe 2012, something like that, 2013, which it was kind of a way where, you know, I was writing these songs. Actually, at that point, I was writing stuff that was very different than this. It was like all instrumental and kind of weird, like fairy tale sounding stuff. Anyway, so then I started writing songs again, and like traditional songs, and kind of needed to get away from my name just because it was hard for me to think about writing songs under my name. And so I just chose this name because it was kind of, it's a little bit more in like a, what if like Brian Jonestown Massacre played like Americana songs, you know, that's kind of more what it sounded like. And yeah, then it was kind of just a journey from there of figuring out what this thing is, you know, like, and I'm still figuring it out. But, you know, when I fell into listening and playing with some really great finger pickers, you know, like, you know, listening to like James Blackshaw and, you know, Steve Gunn and like people like that, you know, and then also making an album with this guy, Charlie Parr, like it was a big inspiration that kind of made the Dead Tongues, I think, kind of start to solidify a little bit more into what it is now and also where it's going, you know, which, you know, revolves around, you know, a simple song, but it's, you know, there's a lot of finger picking that's kind of, you know, not what you hear generally in like a traditional song like this, you know. But yeah, so I don't know, I'm just exploring different ways of playing Americana music, really.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, do you play So do you play, so the Dead Tongues is you, and I'm guessing you put a band together to tour. Mm-hmm. Do you record most of the instruments, or do you get a kind of session musicians to record with you?
So I get session musicians who I've got a few, handful of people I've been playing with for years that, you know, I play with. And, you know, my last two albums, so this new one, Unsung Passage, and the one before this called Montana that came out a couple of years ago. Both of those are recorded pretty much live in the studio.
Oh, wow.
It's like, we kind of just set up in a semicircle, and then we just play it, you know? So it's like, this band was, I was just playing guitar and singing at the same time. And then we had the bass player, the drummer, and then the harmony and flute player. And then we all just tracked at the same time. So it's like, what you're hearing is us in the room just playing it, you know? And then from there, you know, I might do a few overdubs, but it's, you know, pretty light, especially an Unsung Passage. I tried to keep it as in the room and just simple as possible. So it's almost entirely live cuts, you know, including the vocals and stuff. So it's...
Yeah, it definitely sounds that way. I mean, I've been listening to it for the past 3 days, kind of nonstop. It's been really on heavy rotation, and it does feel like you're right there in my living room when I listen to it.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful. I remember you once told me when you came through Portland that you were going on this trip and you took a banjo and you didn't know how to play the banjo and you kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
And you were talking about a specific type of banjo playing. Is this what we hear on the Dead Tongues?
Yeah. So it's called a clawhammer banjo, and it's a kind of it's traditional, like within old time music, like Appalachian old time. And it's different. Like it's not Earl Scruggs style, which is like when you have finger picks on. It's kind of what people think of when they think of banjo would be like Scruggs, which is just super fast and like sharp and brittle, whereas clawhammer actually is this thing that it's really rhythmic just like banjo, but it's really droney, and it's also like a softer sound where it's more tonally less sharp to the ear, you know. But yeah, it's just a whole different way of playing it, essentially. It's still a banjo.
Yeah, very cool. I always thought about it was almost like your reason for the trip was to learn the banjo, and you had to do this trip to learn it. Otherwise, you wouldn't get to it. That's how I felt about it, and I was always like, "Wow, that's so cool."
It was a fun trip. It was like, well, I'll just hitchhike around the West Coast and play this banjo, and then 3 months later, I could play all right.
That's really cool. So Unsung Passage comes out May 18th. How long have you been working on the album?
Well, the writing of it's been kind of here and there since Montana came out, which was in 2 years ago. So I've been working on it since then, and I've been really all over the place. So it's kind of like I would just, I try and think about where I wrote it, and I'm not totally sure like where or when, it's just spare moments here and there, like I remember like being in Berlin writing some of it and being in California writing some of it and being, obviously in Asheville when I had a short breaks, so I would write here. So it's been a process, and it's been done for a while, and just, 9 months ago or so, and I've just been figuring out how to actually release it, all the boring steps that aren't fun to talk about.
Yeah. Well, it's finally out. It sounds amazing. Like, I liked Montana, but I really like this. This is really, like I said, it just feels so intimate and beautiful and poetic. And I think a lot of people probably heard your single, as we saw it on the internet a little bit. I believe it's called Won't Be Long, right?
That's
a beautiful track, and it kind of just goes from there. I find it interesting that the album title is kind of the shortest song on the album, right? It's just kind of almost like an interlude between the first half and the back half. Am I right?
Yeah, it is. Like it's kind of it happens often when I'm working on finishing a record, you know, which is when I just listen to it a lot and mess with it and just sonically hear it different ways. And where I'll just kind of take pieces of some songs and just make, you know, instrumental out of it. And I wanted it to be longer, but it was just, you know, I was like, whatever. It's just like a little, it's like a little spaceship. And then, in the middle of it, that's fine.
But I think it really works. Like it has this quality of like, you know, when you go to see a play almost, and it's like the break, but that's the whole point of the album almost, you know. Yeah. I find it really interesting. I also, you know, the cover art is awesome. I really, really dig it. What's next for you and the Dead Tongues? Like, I'm guessing you guys are going to hit the road a little bit. What, you guys have any dates planned?
Yeah. A lot of things that are really close to being able to be announced that just aren't quite close enough for me to say on air, just in case they don't happen. But yeah, it's looking like, I should be out in Europe for a little while, and then I'll be all over the U.S., come the fall, hopefully. But we'll see. That's how things are looking, and that's what we're going for. But we'll see. Things can always go wrong.
Yeah. Well, I at least saw, and I think that's official, that you're playing Pickathon here in our neck of the woods, right outside of Portland.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, I've never played it, and it's one of those festivals that, you know, one of the few festivals that I really have wanted to play, you know. And you know, I think it's curated really well, and there's always a bunch of stuff I want to see, including this year. You know, there's things I'm looking forward to. So,
yeah, and it's gotten fairly big. Huh? I think over the years the bills have been really attractive, and the acts have been bigger and bigger. So it's definitely got a good reputation here in Oregon, and I think all over the West Coast. We do this thing on Juicebox where it's not really a thing. We just talk about great cooking music. So we love to cook, and we always are listening to music when we cook. And I think a lot of people are, and we've realized there's also like really great albums that are great to cook to. Do you have a favorite cooking album?
You know, one thing I've been doing recently for cooking is, like, there's this app called Radio with a bunch of O's on it. So it's like Radio, O-O-O-O.
Okay.
And it's just a map of the world. And then there's a thing at the bottom where you can select a decade. Mm-hmm. And so you just click a country in a decade, and it'll just play a mix of songs from that country in that decade. So I've been listening to a lot of the Dominican Republic in 1970 when I cook.
You've just blown my mind.
Yeah.
I need to get this app right now. I remember once we talked about world music when you were in Portland, and you were talking about Laotian traditional music. Are you still into kind of world music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's still a constant in some of my world music favorites. Like, it kind of like put on that music, and it anywhere you are becomes kind of an adventure, you know. it's great. Yeah.
Very true. I saw a band recently called the Matheson 2. I don't know if you heard of them, and I think it's just two brothers. I think they're twins. They look like oddly the same age and look a lot alike. And one plays drums and one plays guitar, and they would kind of just play and they would, before playing a song, they're like, these next two songs are from Japan. And they would say, like, from 1970, Ruji Sakamoto, and then just go into it, like, play covers. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, we'll see you at Pickathon, and then hopefully, you know, we get to catch you on a show here nearby. I would encourage everybody to go check the Dead Tongues out, check Ryan out. Wherever you are, if you're in the Portland area, you already can. And if you have tickets to Pickathon. Just check the schedule and make sure you don't miss that set. Ryan, I want to thank you for coming on air. Again, the album is Unsung Passage. It is released now, and it is fabulous. I would recommend anybody to listen to it for a little slice of North Carolina Americana. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Nick.